Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's such a glorious morning. We should be so grateful. Mary Jane, did you want to say anything?
I guess I could say something.
No?
You're not too
tired. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
We had a good ham and strawberry dinner yesterday. We had about 80 people here. Well, no, I'm sorry. We sold 80 tickets. 8 of them were takeout, so we didn't have 80 people in the building. But anyway, we made so far just over $1,500 that we cleared. There are some leftovers downstairs if anybody didn't get any or if anybody wants to purchase a little bit to take home. The beans got all snapped up, I'm afraid, but there is scalloped potatoes and ham left, and there's also cake and strawberries left down there. So just come and see me if you're interested in anything. And thank you all for helping and supporting the meal, and thanks.
Thank you. And we definitely thank Mary Jane so much, so very much. And Luco's Food Cupboard is seeking financial donations that will allow them to purchase in bulk at lower prices. Compared to last year, the first 5 months have had a significant increase in the number and size of families using the service. At the moment, they only have enough money to sustain the cupboard for 6 months. More information is in the bulletin and on their website. The Pride Parade is on Sunday, July 19th, and Brad is wanting to know if you would like to ride the United Churches of London float. He needs to know by July 12th. The parade usually leaves the fairgrounds around noon and ends up at Victoria Park. It is a great deal of fun. You really should try and go at least to Victoria Park to see what happens there. It is indeed very, very interesting. And if you, a friend or family member, are making hearts for the Pride Parade, please be in touch with Reverend Wendy or Laura. Laura needs to know how many more cards need to be printed. This is our last Sunday at Roundtree until August. Next Sunday, Mark Richardson will lead the service at Dundas Street Center. Shared summer services are at 10:30 a.m. You can park at the church or the Catholic High School. Roundtree offering envelopes will be given to Frida for deposit. Zoom will be at 10:30 a.m. And those on Zoom will see the worship slides and hear the live services, just like they are doing today. While Reverend Wendy is on vacation in July, she has arranged for emergency pastoral care. Please contact Laura at either or both church offices if you require this. She'll have one of the ministers covering contact. One of the ministers covering contact you. Today we pray for Shiloh Inwood United Church in Lambton County.
There's the doorbell, Judy.
I'm
gone. Oh, it's okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May God be with you.
And also with you.
And we'll acknowledge the territories together. Since time immemorial, Indigenous peoples have occupied and cared for this land, the country we know as Canada, from coast to coast to coast. Indigenous peoples have lived and journeyed on this land, weaving their identity and their spirituality intimately with the land. We acknowledge and give thanks to the land on which we live and work, and to the people who have cared for it. As settlers, we acknowledge this area as the traditional home of the Anishinaabe, the Ojibwe or Chippewa Nation, the Haudenosaunee, the Iroquois and the Oneida Nation, the Lenapawak, the Delaware people, the Attawandron, the Neutral Nation or Algonquin people, and the Wendat, the Huron people, who loved and cared for this land. Being able to give thanks to the stewards of the land, being able to reflect on the meaning of treaties made is an honor. With a spirit of reconciliation, we must commit to learning more about Indigenous communities and sharing our learnings with our children, our families, and with our communities. As a community of faith, we seek to live into our relations with the First Nations, to learn from them, and to live on this land, their land, with respect and gratitude for its creation and creator. This is our commitment. We pray for the Holy Spirit to breathe healing, justice, hope, and compassion into all our relations.
We are now going to light the Christ candle. The light of Jesus Christ
inspires our prayers.
The light of Jesus Christ
brings joy to our singing.
The light of Jesus Christ
finds purpose in God's word.
The light of Jesus Christ
illumines the needs of the world.
We light this candle as a symbol of inspiration, joy, purpose, and illumination.
Let us join together in singing our centering hymn, Come and Find the Quiet Center, from Voices United, number 374.
Thank you.
go into our call to worship, there's just a couple of things I wanted to highlight. I'm not sure they're in the bulletin or not, but it was at the board meeting this past week that Wendy read a letter that she had received from the moderator of the United Church congratulating her on her 15 years in ordained ministry. So we just wanted to bring that to your attention. And the other thing that we were congratulating about was I had received a letter as the Secretary of the Church Board from the United Church of Canada, and I'll just read it to you. I didn't see Catherine here this morning. She usually sits over here. Dear members of the board, on behalf of the Nominations Committee and Chairperson, Lynella Reed James, I am pleased to be able to inform you that Catherine Glover of Roundtree Memorial United Church has been appointed as a member of the General Secretary Selection Committee. The members who serve so faithfully through the committees and task groups of the General Council are essential to living out the mission of the United Church of Canada. Equally essential are all those who continue to guide, inspire, and support these members. For all of the ways that you and the members of this pastoral charge have been a part of and will continue to be a part of Catherine's leadership, we offer our thanks. Know that through Catherine, you will be ever present in this aspect of the General Council's work. We hope this connection will also continue to be an enriching experience for everyone at Roundtree Memorial United Church. Again, we offer our sincere thanks and celebration for Catherine's service to this United Church of ours. In faith, Diane Bosman. Congratulations. Now please join with me in the call to worship. Come in from a week of blazing summer heat. We come to bathe in the warmth of God's love, refreshed by spirit and wind, renewed through the companionship of Jesus. Come in from a month too long without rain. We come to drink deeply of Jesus' living water, restoring our souls in God's river of faith. Come in out of the brilliance of the burning sun. We come to have the good news branded on our hearts, the light of the world to show us the way. Come and worship. We come to praise God. Let us pray. Loving God, we think we are a worldly people, but we wish to grow into your world of loving communion. Show us how to weave Jesus' self-giving into life, that we may become society's yeast, the yeast that gives rise to new ways of confederation, to bridge divides and honor your gift of diversity, new ways of living into truth and reconciliation, new ways of being a people rooted in your compassion and care. Let us pray together these familiar words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this name our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The time with all God's children this morning, we will be hearing the story of Shishiko, which means she loves to play in water, written by Nicola Campbell. In just 4 days, Shishiko will have to leave her family and all that she knows to attend residential school. She spends her last 4 days at home, treasuring the beauty of her world and learning valuable teachings from her parents and grandmother that they want her to remember. Here is her story. 1, 2, 3, 4 mornings left until I go to school, says Shishiko, as she watched sunlight dance butterfly steps across her mother's sleeping face. When streams of light sent shadows across her mother's cheeks, she said, Mom, wake up. It's time for us to go bathe down by the creek. Her mother blinked. You woke up early today, she said, swinging her feet to the floor. With the first steps of sunrise, Shishiko skipped along the worn path, along the cottonwood trees, all the way to the creek. "My girl, we will not see each other until the wild roses bloom in the spring and the salmon have returned to our river. I want you to remember the ways of our people. I want you to remember our songs and our dances, our laughter and our joy, and I want you to remember our land." Then her mother began to sing. Her voice traveled from tree to tree, flowing through the valley, caught by the wind, carried by the wings of eagles in flight. Shishiko could not help herself. She looked at everything, tall grass swaying to the rhythm of the breeze, determined mosquitoes, working bumblebees. She memorized each shiny rock, the sand beneath her feet, crayfish and minnows and tadpoles that squirmed between her toes, all at the bottom of the creek. They were almost home when cousins, aunties, and uncles and the rhythmic tap of Yahweh's old cedar cane could be heard through the trees. "Mother, father, they're here!" Shishiko ran to greet her family. Sunlight, wood smoke, and scents of barbecued sockeye salmon filled the air. Dishes clattered, footsteps pitter and pattered, and laughter echoed from tree to tree. Afterwards, in the late night silence, tucked safely under Yaya's patchwork quilt, Shishiko counted her fingers. "There were only 1, 2, 3 more sleeps until I go to school." In the morning, when Shishiko woke, the sky was changing from navy to brilliant blue. She listened to the cool breeze sing morning songs, soft, drum, heart, beats. "Let's take the canoe out on the lake," said her father. Hand in hand, they walked along the creek, all the way to the lake. "My girl, these are things you must always remember," he said, gesturing to the trees, mountains, and water around them. Together, they picked up the canoe and carried it to the water's edge. With yellow cedar paddles, they strolled across smooth water. Reach, dip, pull back. Reach, dip, pull back. The only sound they heard were the whistling birds and their paddles breaking the surface of the lake, surrounding them with ripples. Circle on, circle on, circle on. Her father sang the paddle song that her grandfather used to sing. His voice traveled across the water, a chant that kept their pace. Shishiko could not help herself. She looked at everything. She tasted the rain that fell on her face. She listened as the water washed over the rocky beach. And when eagle song echoed through the valley, traveling just beyond reach, she sang her grandfather's paddle song, and their voices echoed from beach to beach. In a day full of sunlight, Shishiko and her father returned to pack her things. Finally, in the silence of night, belly full, huddled safely under Yaya's patchwork quilt, Shishiko counted her fingers. 1, 2. Only 2 more sleeps, then fell into water-exhausted sleep. Shishiko was dreaming when she heard her Yaya say, "Shishiko, wake up, my girl. We have some things to do today." Yaya gave her a small bag made from soft tanned deer hide and sinew. "This, my girl, is a bag for you to keep all your memories. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, remember to keep them safe." The sun wasn't up yet when they walked out the door and into the trees. The path was dark and smelled alive with rain, wet soil, and leaves. They walked until the sun was shining. Yaya brought her to visit a great big fir tree. Shishiko placed a sprig into her bag of memories. They visited a hemlock, a cedar, and even a pine, and each time she placed a sprig into her bag of memories. They went to visit silver willow, red willow, sagebrush, cottonwood, Labrador bushes, and even kinkinchik. They visited blueberry, salmon, berry, Saskatoon, and huckleberry bushes. They found bitterroot, wild potato, and wild celery patches. On and on they went through fields of wild roses, Indian paintbrush, firewood, and columbine. Shishiko promised herself, "I will remember everything." Each plant they came to, she listened carefully to its name, then asked once, twice, even three times, "Is it food or medicine, Yaya? Is it always safe?" Then whispering its name, she placed diced berry root, flower, and fragrant leaf into her bag of memories. That night, when Shishiko crawled under her patchwork quilt, she counted her fingers and said, "One, only one more sleep." At home, the cattle truck that gathered children waited. Shishiko picked up her bag of memories, a pinch of tobacco for offering, then went out the back door to her favorite place beneath a great big fir tree. She placed the tobacco at its base. She tucked her bag inside its roots. "Dear Grandfather Tree, please keep my memories and my family safe. I will be home in the spring." Shishiko, come inside now. It's time for you to go." When they rattled down the dirt and into the trees, Shishiko held a sprig of fir close to her heart. Shishiko could not help herself. She looked at everything. Tall grass swaying to the rhythm of the breeze, determined mosquitoes, working bumblebees. She memorized each tiny rock, the sand beneath her feet, crayfish and minnows and tadpoles that squirmed between her toes, all at the bottom of the creek. Let us pray. Dear God, help us to remember the harm done. In taking children away from their families, community and culture. Help us to make amends as we are able. May our memories move us to learn and share our learning with our families and communities, so that we can be agents of healing and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us now join together in singing "Dance with the Spirit" from More Voices, number 156.
Listen for God's word. The gospel reading is from Mark 4, verses 26 to 34. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Now, the parable of the mustard seed. Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in the shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything.
Let us pray. Holy One, breathe your spirit into us again, that we may have life as people who know we are not alone. The Spirit comes to us with mercy, with healing, with new beginnings. In Christ we are forgiven. In the Spirit we are empowered. In God's love we are made whole. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you. thank Ryan and the choir for their work all this past year, as it's our last Sunday with you until August. There might be some of us here still then, but thank you again, Ryan, for all your work for us. The meditation this morning starts off with a quotation. Miss no single opportunity of making some small sacrifice, here by a smiling look, there by a kindly word, always doing the smallest right and doing it all for love. That's from Saint Therese of Lisieux. Saint Therese of Lisieux never expected anyone to remember her. She was born in France in 1873 and joined a Carmelite convent when she was 15. She didn't travel far, lead any movements, or speak to crowds. Most of her days were spent in a small convent, doing everyday tasks with a handful of other women. She died of tuberculosis at 24. By most standards our culture uses to define success, her life seemed ordinary, and yet, more than a century later, millions of people still read her words. I've been thinking about Therese lately. The world feels overwhelming right now. Each day brings a new crisis, another outrage, another war, and more reminders of suffering we can't touch. It is easy to feel small in a moment like this. Many people I know feel exhausted. They care about what's happening in the world and want to help, to make a difference. But as the problems get bigger, their energy fades. There's a special kind of grief that comes from loving the world and knowing you can't fix it. It all feels too overwhelming. Therese understood something about that grief. One of the stories she tells is about a nun in her convent whom she found difficult to love. She never explains exactly why. The woman simply irritated her. Most of us know what that feels like. Some people bring out the best in us. Others seem to reveal the rough edges that we're trying to smooth out. Therese decided that every encounter with this sister would become a spiritual practice. She greeted her warmly. She listened carefully. She offered kindness whenever she could. Over time, the other nun became convinced that Therese genuinely liked her company. One day she finally asked, "What is it about me that attracts you so much?" Therese was astonished. The woman had no idea that there had ever been a struggle. She had only experienced her love. That story strikes me as both beautiful and a little unsettling. Most of us want our lives to matter. We look for proof that what we do makes a difference, that our work means something. But the most meaningful changes often happen quietly. A conversation changes someone's day. A kindness interrupts a loneliness we never knew existed. A word of encouragement arrives at exactly the right moment. A patient response prevents a wound from deepening. Most of these moments disappear almost as quickly as they arrive. But this is where much of real life takes place. Therese called her approach, quote, the little way, quote. She was not suggesting that the world's problems are small. She understood suffering. She lived through illness, loss, doubt, and disappointment. She found that love always comes through something specific. This conversation, person, moment, or choice. Maybe that's why her example still speaks to people after so many years. She reminds us that being significant isn't the same as being big or well known. The world tells us to wonder if our lives are big enough. Therese asks if our lives are loving enough. Those are very different questions. Perhaps that is good news for those of us who wake up each day feeling overwhelmed by the state of the world. None of us can carry everything. None of us can solve every crisis. but each of us can choose how we treat the person right in front of us. The little way begins there. It begins with the conviction that love is not measured by size, it is measured by presence. Perhaps this is also the way that we can make a difference with living into right relations with our Indigenous, Métis, and Inuit neighbors, with little ways of petitioning for clean water, for learning more about their culture, and seeking to better understand their history. What may start small can, with little ways of others, develop into a solidarity of understanding, action, and love. May we go and make it so. And a prayer for the little way. God of small things, when the world feels too large, bring us back to what is near. When we are overwhelmed by all that is broken, show us the person before us. When we hunger for significance, teach us the holiness of attention. Let us trust that a kind word, an open hand, a patient heart, and a faithful presence are never wasted. May love take root in the ordinary places of our lives, and may we discover there the quiet miracle of enough. Amen. Let us join together in singing Spirit, Spirit of Gentleness, in Voices United, number 375.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving and grace-filled Creator, we show much gratitude for the gift of faith and life in this world. We pray for open hearts and minds that we may be a part of your transforming love and true reconciliation. We pray for your wisdom and guidance that we may live as a blessing for all of creation, whether we identify as traditional, religious, or spiritual. May we live with trust, love, honesty, and humility. We give thanks today for the United Church of Canada and its leadership, for their dedication to reconciliation and trying to act and do on their faith journey. Help us to be filled with your spirit of compassion. We pray for all people who suffer in the world, those we know and those we have not yet met. And may we generously pray for continued relationship building, flourishing ideas, and bold discipleship for our wonderful church. Creator, hear our prayers. We give you thanks for the good news in our sacred scriptures and our traditional teachings. May those amazing teachings spread goodness and love to all corners of creation. Creator, hear our prayers. We pray today for those who struggle with illness or disease, whether of health, heart, mind, or relationship. For those who struggle with addiction, relationship breakdown, and to those who sit with our most vulnerable, may your constant love and compassion surround them. Creator, hear our prayers. May your sacred presence come to those who need you most. Bring them peace and reassurance of your unconditional love through friends, family, and the prayers of people in churches and places of worship around the world. Creator, hear our prayers. In this season of renewal, we are called to let our light shine bright and to allow and encourage others to let their light shine even brighter. We are spirit first, and that spirit knows to soar like an eagle up high in the blue sky. Creator, we ask for the grace to lead a faithful life, to walk with a deep sense of spirituality, to live radical hospitality, and to journey toward in a good way, always. Amen. Remembering that God's family is our family, let us reach out in love and gratitude as we present our offering for our community and for the world. Let us sing together our offering response, Spirit, Open My Heart, for More Voices, number 79.
Spirit, open my heart.
Loving Creator, help us to think about others when we come to this time of giving. Some of us only have a dollar or two, or an hour or two to share, but others have so much more. Remind us when we have heaps of love, of time or special talents, to share that we shine the love of God when sharing them wildly. Amen. And as we go into the world, let us sing from Voices United, number 402, We Are One, verses 1, 2, and 4. Creator's eternal love warm your spirit like the sun on a summer day. May the Spirit guide your path with gentleness and strength. May we always seek to move in a good way. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.